Well, good morning. Would you welcome all of our campuses that are worshiping with us today? So great to have you. Yesterday, we were in the Buena Vista Correctional Facility, and hold on. I'll tell you all about it during the message. You're going to get even more fired up when you hear. But would you do me a favor, because we launched that campus yesterday. So would you help me welcome the men at the Buena Vista Correctional Campus? So glad to have you. Thank you. It was an incredible day. I'll tell you more about it as we go. Wanted to tell you a couple things to be aware of that we're going to pray for. I'm going to pray for before we get into our message. One is there's a potential Supreme Court case that could be heard. There's about a 1 in 3 chance of it being heard. It's the Sherman Children versus Virginia, which may mean nothing to you. It didn't mean much to me until I was informed about it. But really, if this case gets heard, it has a chance to strengthen families. It has a chance to strengthen parents' rights, children's rights. If you want to see families strengthened, they need to reopen this case and do this. So I'm going to pray for that today. We have one of our members here that would be serving as an attorney on that case if we end up getting the Supreme Court to hear it. And I think it's important that they hear that case because, as you know, I mean, I've been a pastor a long time, seen a lot of divorces. And if you've been through a divorce, you know how challenging it can be for having the children and taking care of them and doing all those things. So this would redirect that. And so we're going to be praying for that. Secondly, I'm asking you to pray for Pastor AJ. He's our campus pastor in Westminster. He called me last night, and then I got back in touch with him. It turned out he got admitted to the hospital last night because he had a big mass in his throat. And he said, hey, pray for me. This is really scary. I don't know what's going on. Just to give you a little background, they lost their baby daughter at that hospital a year ago Tuesday. So here they were there again, and I got a text from him in the middle of the night. They gave him an emergency surgery, took him to a different hospital, performed surgery from 1 to 3 last night. He's on a trachea, he's on a ventilator, he is alive, he's doing okay, but they took a biopsy of the mass, and they're not sure right now what it is. So we want to keep Pastor AJ and his family, Adriella's wife, all of his kids in your prayers. We love him. I know if he was here, he'd be praying for your healing. We're going to pray for his today as well before we get into the message. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, on this Pledge Sunday, Lord, we're excited for all you're doing, all you've been stirring in our midst. But Lord, we also have concerns and we're bringing them before you. And so Lord, we just pray that the Supreme Court would hear the case of the Sherman Children versus Virginia. Lord, that you would open up the doors. I know there's about a 1 in 3 chance this week that they're going to select that as one of the cases they'll look at. Lord, would you have mercy and grace on our nation, the families, the parents, and the kids? Lord, to strengthen families in our culture and let them hear that case. And Lord, by your grace, would you rule in favor of making our families stronger in our nation? Father, I also want to pray for my brother, my friend, our campus pastor, Pastor AJ. Lord, they're in shock. They're surprised by all the things that have happened. And Lord, we just pray your healing power over his life right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray the mass would not be cancerous. Lord, I was told that he only had 20% of his windpipe that was open. Lord, we pray that the doctors could remove what's necessary. And Lord, that he would be restored to full health, Lord, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, we trust you for his healing on this side of heaven. And Father, I pray today for the proclamation of your word, Lord, that you would have your way with us, because Lord, we believe as a people, every time your word is faithfully and accurately proclaimed, no matter where we're at, that you indeed are speaking. So our prayer this morning is, speak, Lord, for we are ready to hear. And so now for all those who have gathered, who desire to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak directly to you, who will believe what he tells you and who will by faith put into practice what he shows you, will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen. Amen. I saw a picture this week of our family when we were at the Grand Canyon some years ago. You know how pictures will pop up on your phone from time to time. And at first I was taking a look at how small our kids were and remembering that moment. And then it hit me as we were standing right before the Grand Canyon. The picture did absolutely no justice for what the Grand Canyon looks like. Now, I had heard about the Grand Canyon, heard how big and vast it was. But even when we got there, even look at that picture of our family, and then I started scrolling through pictures of seeing the pictures I took of the Grand Canyon, and that wasn't good enough. You almost have to see it with your own eyes. And when you do see it with your own eyes, immediately you realize how big our God is and how small we are. right? Some of you have had that feeling when you've gone to the banks of the ocean and you've looked out over everything and you said, wow, this is vast and I'm really, really small. Others, when you climb to the top of a 14er, remember the first 14er I did, I was about 1,200 feet up thinking, I think I'm high enough. And they said, no, you got to keep going. And got to the top and you could see over the landscape of all of the different peaks and you realize how small we are compared to how great our God is. Or perhaps you grew up in an area that didn't have a lot of light at night where you were able to look up at the stars in the dark and just see myriads and myriads of stars. There's something about looking at the creation. When we look at creation and we realize God's big and I'm small and he's allowed me to be part of this. As we've done this Taking Ground capital campaign over the last 4 weeks, we're ending that series today. We've been talking about Taking Ground and what this whole capital campaign is about. That Taking Ground strengthens our faith. The Taking Ground fortifies the church. The Taking Ground multiplies opportunities. But today what I want to tell you about Taking Ground is bigger than all of us. Taking Ground is bigger than any one of us, and Taking Ground is bigger than all of us combined, because when God is at the center of what his people are doing, there are miraculous things that God wants to do. So much so that we couldn't even say this is what God's going to do and then he does it. When we say this is the direction he's taking us, oftentimes he opens up doors that blow us away. And so what we're doing as a church is we're posturing ourselves before him in this season, believing him that in these next 3 years, he can do beyond anything that we could ask or think. Amen. And so to teach that this morning, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you have a copy of the scriptures, I'd encourage you to open it up. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, let me just set up the context for you. The book of Ephesians is broken up into six chapters. The first three are really about God's sovereign work in election and choosing those for salvation and how he gifts and what he does and how all of that works and how he's brought unity in the body. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are all about how do you walk that out? How do you walk it out in your family? How do you walk it out in friendships? How do you dress in the full armor of God so you can live this message out? But these two verses here are really the hinge between what God's doing and how we live it out. There's a doxology here, maybe the greatest doxology in the entire Bible in these two verses. And I want you to hear these. And then I'm going to give you four truths about this today. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And this doxology or this glorifying God couldn't have been better timed for what he's trying to teach us. And what he's trying to teach us is no matter what we do, everything's always bigger than us. We think that Christianity is practical, like we can get our hands around it, we can figure it out, we can walk this way, we can do this, and then God's gonna do his part. God is so much bigger. Whatever your view of God is, even if it's theologically correct, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one God, and he's existed eternally and he'll always exist, and all that he's done, no matter how big your view is of God, your view's not big enough. He's amazing, he's infinite, he's beyond anything that our English words can even describe how great he is. And so when it comes to taking ground and it comes to doing the things that God wants to do, I want you to know taking ground is bigger than us. So let me give you four truths about that today. And the first truth is this, that God's ability exceeds our limits. God's ability exceeds our limits. You know what that means? God's ability exceeds your limits. You're going to get to a place in your walk with the Lord where you're like, he can't, I don't know what's going to happen now. I'm between a rock and a hard place. That's not a rock and a hard place for the Lord. He can handle it. Because it says, now to him, who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ, our God. Now to him, everything we do is for him. When we gather as a church, we gather for him. We gather to hear his word. We gather to worship his name. We gather to sing praises to him. We gather to pray to him. We gather to give him glory and honor. We gather because he and he alone is worthy. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Think about this. He's not able to do more abundantly. He's able to do far more abundantly than what? All that you ask. Anything you ask, that's not too hard. God can do it. Anything you think, God can go well beyond your thoughts. I mean, think about this. I mean, this is not the only place in the Bible that talks about this. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. The most controversial verse in the entire Bible, Genesis 1:1. God's existed for eternity, and then we hear him speak. And he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you believe that, believing everything else in the Bible is really, really easy. If there's an eternal being that stands outside of all time, space, and matter and created everything that we have in this world of time, space, and matter out of absolutely nothing, what's too hard for him? The answer is nothing. There is nothing too difficult for our God. Amen? Or how about Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus is talking to this rich young ruler who thinks he's kept all the commandments, but he hasn't kept any of them, and he walks away sad, and Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Truly, truly, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to be saved. And the disciples are like, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus said to them in Matthew 19, 26, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What was he saying? People can't save themselves. Only God can save people. Amen? Or this is my favorite place to go when people ask me the question, why? Hey, pastor, if God's so good, then why does this happen? If God's so good, then why did my life turn out this way? If God's so good, why did I have to go to the funeral of my loved one? If God's so, I mean, all those questions, I have the answer for you in case you wanted to know this morning. You want to know? Isaiah 55, verse 9, here's your answer. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's your answer. Why did this happen? Because God's smarter than you and he knows more than you and he's doing it his way. That's why it doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It makes sense to our God who is amazing, who's awesome, who's huge. And we see these stories in our Bible. Like even when this young virgin Mary has an angel appear to her who says she's going to bring forth the Messiah through her womb. And she says, how can this be? I've never even been with a man. In Luke 1:37, the angel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. I mean, every story we read about in the Bible that's impossible, we take and we say, well, I believe the Bible. I know that happened. Well, how was Jesus born of a virgin? Because he was. Well, how's that even possible? Because of God. Or how about when Israel was delivered from the Egyptians after 10 plagues? And they go off into the wilderness to get to the promised land. And then God hardens Pharaoh's heart again. And so the Egyptian army starts to pursue them. And the problem is they get up to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea will swallow them and they can't get everybody through. And the Egyptian army, the most powerful army in the world, is behind them. And they have this, no hope. How's that gonna work out? God says, this is not hard for me. I'll peel behind you in my pillar of fire and stay there. Don't worry about that. They won't touch you. Moses, here's what I need you to do. Hold out your staff over the water. So Moses holds his staff out over the water. The Red Sea parts. It's powder dry. All Israel walks through, all 2 million of them. And then God relents, lets Egypt, the Egyptian army, come through and swallows them all and kills them. And he does it without sweating. It's not hard because he's God and he always does the things that are impossible. That's who he is. Or think about some other stories in there, like God telling Abraham, I'm gonna give you the promised son. And he tells his wife and she laughs because she's 90 years old. And God wasn't joking. And she delivered Isaac in her 90s because all things are possible with God. Or how about the walls of Jericho when they finally enter the promised land? And here's their big battle strategy. Every day I want you to get up and I want you to march around the city. I want you to take the priests first and I don't want you to ever say a word. If you want to talk about the dumbest all-time battle plan, that would be it. Where you have people on the walls with spears and hot water and everything else to pour on you. And God says, don't say a word, just march around the city and then come home. But on day 7, I need you to march around it 7 times. And don't say anything until I tell you, but when I do, blow the horns and shout and then everything will be good. What a dumb plan that is. Except for the fact that it's God's plan. And so they do what God says. And when they do what God says, all the walls fall down and they take the entire city. Because when you do things God's way, God does things that you don't expect. Amen? That's the beauty of following our God. That's why when we talk about the Taking Ground Capital campaign, I haven't told you, are we going to plant 1 more campus, 2 more campuses, 5 more campuses? Because I don't know. Because it's not mine to do. It's the Lord's. We're trusting him for what he wants and how he wants it. And I believe we're going to see God do some amazing, miraculous things. I've seen God do this our whole ministry. I remember when we first started the church, and the weekend before, they were bringing our trailer up from Phoenix that had all of our equipment in it. And it was about $100,000 for the trailer. And we had paid them all except for $26,000. We hadn't paid them that amount yet. And so they told me on the phone, they said, "Hey, we're coming, but we're not going to unlock the trailer until you give us $26,000. Do you have it?" And I said, "Yeah, we got it. Come on." But we didn't have it. And so they're driving from Phoenix. And while they're driving from Phoenix, I told our team the week before, "Hey, we don't have it all paid for." I didn't even tell them what we owed. I just said, "Just give your best offering. We're just going to trust the Lord. Good things will happen." Guess how much money we raised that day? $27,000. Put $1,000 in the bank, wrote them a check for $26,000. And we started our church. I've seen God do that over and over and over again. Amen. I remember when we had an $800,000 budget and we had to buy the building. We had to raise $1.73 million in 6 days. And I preached my socks off. And I thought it was one of the best messages I ever preached. And I totally believed that we could until I finished preaching and was driving home. I'm like, "We're going to get crushed. We're never going to get this." And by God's grace, we raised $1.93 million in 6 days and bought our first building. And God's done this over and over and over again. And he continues to do it. But it's not about buildings and it's not about money. What's it about? It's about the gospel. Can I tell you about yesterday? Yeah, I went to the Buena Vista Correctional Facility with about 40 or 50 of our team. Pastor Howie was there with his team. Some of our staff were there. Some volunteers were there. And I took a video of myself before we went inside. And I was telling the Lord, I was praying to the Lord. There's about 1,000 inmates in there. "Lord, if you give us 100 more for your name, that would just be awesome." Wouldn't that be awesome if the Lord would have given us 100? I mean, I would have been pretty pleased. We went in there yesterday. We had 4 meetings, preached the gospel 4 times, had our worship team there singing with all these guys, all these inmates of all different types of crimes. And Buena Vista Correctional Facility is not known for being just a great place to go to a correctional facility. Preached the gospel 4 times. Guess how many people responded to the gospel? 389 guys yesterday responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. My wife and I, we were supposed to go get lunch and then come back. I'm like, "I'm not leaving. I don't want to get locked out of the prison. I'm having way too much fun." I had about as much fun as I've had in ministry in the last 35 years yesterday. And I was talking to Pastor Howie. I said, "Pastor Howie, we had lunch yesterday." I said, "How many of these facilities are in the state of Colorado?" He said, "There's 19. I said, "Let's go get all 19. Let's go put a Brave campus in all 19. Do you know that the chapel at Buena Vista only seats about 250 if you cram everybody in? We just went to 2 services, or we have a facility problem. Now they want to meet in the gym because we don't have enough space. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? That's an answer to prayer. God's doing that. And I mean, if you just think about this year, you take Easter, we had 731. You take yesterday, you take High Five, we had nearly 300. You take the Charlie Kirk Memorial. I mean, just since Easter, we've had 1,500 people that we know about in our services, Trust Jesus, which doesn't even count all the myriads of you that have been out sharing your faith. God is doing something amazing through us. Friends, and I tell you that because I remember when our church had 12 people. And of those 12, about 4 of them told me, "This isn't going to work. It's not going to ever work. We're never going to be a church." And I thanked them for their confidence. But God builds his church. He's building his church, and his ability exceeds our limits. Amen? So I don't know everything God's going to do. I don't know how many radio stations we're going to be on. I don't know how many people we're going to see get saved. I don't know how many campuses we're going to have. But I believe God's going to do more than what we could ask or think. Think about everything you ask him for. I think about all the things I ask God for. And he goes over and above. I like to think in the future. I like to envision what could happen. And God's greater than every thought that I have. He can do way more than anything I can think of. That's the God we serve. That's what we want. And so when we read the book of Acts, right? We read the book of Acts, everybody says, "Well, that would be so cool if we could be in a church like that." Friends, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God I'm teaching you about is the same God that we serve. And for those of you like, "I can't wait till he gets back in the text," come back next week. I'll be in the book of Acts. We're going to go through the entire book, just so you know. That's what we're going to do. And it's going to be an incredible time because you're going to see that what God's doing here, he was doing there. And that nothing's changed. He's the same awesome, powerful God, and his ability exceeds our limits. Let me give you a second one. Not only does God's ability exceed our limits, but God's power works within us. Don't miss this. God's power works within us. It says, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think," where? "According to the power that works," where? "Within us." Where's God's power unleashed? In every born-again believer, that's where his power is unleashed. That's where he works. That's where he chooses to work. I mean, in Acts 1:8, he says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be my witnesses. Why? Because I'm going to come into your life, and you're going to have my power. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which he does in every believer, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Friends, Christianity is different than any other faith promise in the world. There's no other faith promise in the world where the God that they claim to serve comes to live inside of you. The promise of Christianity is if you repent and believe and you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells you. God lives in you. So where's his power unleashed? In and through you. That's why we gather as a church. That's why we do things as a church. Why? Because God wants to work in and through each and every one of us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is resident in your life if you're born again. I mean, think about the access that you have to that. I mean, a lamp does not shine because of the bulb. A lamp shines because of the electricity running through the lamp. In the same way, we have the Holy Spirit who's resident in us that is the one that lets us be the light to the dark world. Amen? Like, this is who he is. I mean, and we read all these stories in the Bible. Like, we read David and Goliath, and we love that story because there's this little shepherd boy that can't fit into King Saul's armor that goes and slays the giant. But don't miss why. Because when Goliath was taunting him at nearly 10 feet tall, what was David saying? Goliath was saying, am I a dog that you're going to taunt me with sticks and come at me with sticks? He's like, I'm not coming at you with sword or spear or javelin. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Yeah. What was he saying? It's God's power working in and through me that's going to take you out. It wasn't about the slingshot. It wasn't about the five stones. It wasn't about the one stone that was flung. David could have thacked him in the head. It didn't matter. It was God that was taking Goliath out. And God, who did he use? He used David. Why did he use David? Because David was the only one of the Israelites that had enough faith to stand up to him and believe that God could do what God said he was going to do. What happens when you get a whole group of people believing that God can do what they believe God says that he can do? Great things happen beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. And where does he do the work? It's not just an outside-in thing. It's an inside-out thing. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through you. God wants to use you. He prepared works in advance so that you'd walk in them. He always wants to use you. I mean, I think about it like this. I mean, imagine if you could for a moment, you know, you could pull the spirit of any individual and exchange it for the spirit in you. So you'd look the same on the outside, but inside you'd be different. So you could like pull the spirit of your favorite athlete, or you could pull the spirit of your favorite actor, or you could pull the spirit of your favorite artist or musician. And once their spirit came inside you, you'd look the same, but you would be able to do everything that they could do. Would that be cool or what? I mean, I'd be starting tomorrow night for the Broncos, I promise you. I mean, if I could pull the spirit of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and just let it indwell me, and you would see me on Monday night and you would say, what is Pastor Jeff doing? I didn't know he was that awesome. And I would say, it's not Pastor Jeff, it's the spirit of Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we have, but we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God, and God resides in us and can do everything God says he can do if we'll step in faith and allow him to do it. Amen? That's who we are. And so taking ground is all about multiplying that and letting God's power work in and through us more and more. And here in our church, we have a couple ways of doing that. We have our core teams, which are serving teams for Christ, champions of real people serving, where you can discover your divine design and how God uses you in different aspects of ministry so you can serve the Lord with gladness and be a blessing to other people. We have our cadres, so we can be small groups on a mission where you can get and do one another's with other people in the body of Christ and encourage them and build them up and pray for them and let them do the same for you, so that you can discover who God's made you so you can live on mission for him. Amen? Why? Because God's ability exceeds our limits and his power works within us. Let me give you a third one. That God's glory is revealed, and God's glory is revealed in the church. God's glory is revealed in the church. Now, we get this great promise. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I mean, we're his plan A for getting his work done. He wants to do it through us. And the way he does that is when we humbly submit and allow God to work. And then what does he say? To him be the glory where? in the church. I counted seven of you that got that right. We're going to do it again. It says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Where is God most glorified? In the church. Well, what is the church? Well, the church is every born-again believer that has the Spirit of God resident in his or her life. That's the church. What is the church instructed to do all throughout the New Testament? Gather. Don't give up the habit of meeting like some are in the habit of doing. Get together. So the church gathers. This building in the church. Y'all that are born again is the church. And when the church gathers, we gather so that we can hear the word of God proclaimed. We gather so we can pray. We gather so we can worship. We gather so we can evangelize. We gather so we can build each other up and do all the one another so that we can send the church out into the world, which is God working in and through us so that the dark places in the world know what the light looks like. Do you understand that? When we say you are loved, church didn't end. It just got started for the week. So you can go be the church. Now I've heard everybody, just be the church, don't go to church. No, you have to go to church to be the church. You have to gather with the church to be equipped to go be the church, right? But if you're gonna gather with the church, then go be the church. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about the church, he says, you are what? You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you're the light of the world, it means you're different than the properties of the world because the properties of the world are darkness and you're gonna bring light into the darkness. If you're salt, you have a different property of the world that's putrid and disintegrating right before our very eyes, and you're gonna help preserve the culture. So where should the church be? Well, we should gather on Sundays for sure, and then what should we do? We should go out into our rotting culture and be the light and be salt to people that don't know Jesus. When Jesus said these words in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what he was saying? It's not a picture of the church being like, okay, we gotta stand strong or hell's gonna get us. No, the gates protect hell. The church storms the gates. The church is offensive. The church is going out into the culture. The church is living as salt and light. We have to. If all we do is gather here and we agree on our beliefs, but it doesn't impact our family and it doesn't impact our culture and it doesn't affect the way we vote, then we're not living the gospel to the full. We have to let the gospel get outside the walls, amen? And when the gospel gets outside the walls, you know this, there's opposition to the gospel getting outside the walls, which is why we need to gather, because then you gather with your brothers and sisters that have been oppressed all single week, all different places, at their school, at their work, and you come together and you think, I'm not alone. It was a hard week for me too, and thank goodness I can worship Jesus and sing praises with others that are doing it because God is still on his throne. That's why the church gathers. That's why the church scatters. We need to be doing both all the time. Amen? Because his glory is revealed in and through the church, and if you're born again, you are part of the church, and it's revealed in Christ Jesus. He tells us this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, of the church, which is his body, and he's the head. Let me just ask this. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Who's the head of Brave Church? I'm not the head of anything. I'm an underling. I'm an underservant. We're all part of the body of Christ. None of us are the head. We all play different roles. He's the head. He makes the calls. He gives us his word. He shows us what to do. All we're doing is aligning where we are in the body so that we can help support him. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's who we are. That's who we are. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. I mean, how incredible does God view his church? We need to take his church, we need to live what he wants, and then we need to take it right outside these walls as we scatter and live for Jesus' name. That's why taking ground is not about Brave becoming a bigger church. Did you know that? It's not just about getting more people into more buildings. That's not what it is. It's about more people meeting Jesus and living on mission for Jesus. And some of those things will help facilitate the more people that we get. And every time we do this, I'm just telling you, We do this as elders. I do this as a pastor. I'm like, I think this is the direction God wants us to go, but it's open-handed. I'm not holding it like this. God doesn't have to do anything that we think he wants to do. He can do it in many different ways because he begins to put stuff on our hearts. I'm telling you, I've been feeling this way for a long time. I shared it in first service. So I'll share it here too. I wasn't going to share it, but it just came to me. Some of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately, I love doing evangelism. I loved when we did Bandimere. I love when we did Bandimere the second year. I love doing what we did yesterday in the prisons. We do events well. You know what's been on my heart for about the last year? Like, I'm looking forward to the day that we host an evangelistic crusade at Mile High. I'm just looking forward to that. Now, if you were to ask me today, how's that gonna happen? Where are we gonna get the money? Like, I don't know. It's just on my heart like it was when we planted our church, and it won't surprise me when it happens. And instead of having, 1,000 inmates, we'll have 80,000 people there, and we'll baptize about 10,000 in one night, and you'll be like, that was awesome, and we'll say all praise and glory to God. Now, Pastor Jeff, are you saying that has to happen? No. God gets to do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. I'm just telling you what's on my heart. Because here's what I believe, and it's the only reason I still live in this city. I believe God still wants to redeem Denver, Colorado for his glory. I do. I look forward to Denver, Colorado being a place where people and pastors travel and come to find out, what are y'all doing? Well, here's what we do. It's really, really complicated. We pray our socks off and we preach the word and we tell other people about Jesus and his coming back really soon. And that's all we do. And that works because the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But can you picture it in your mind? Could you picture what it's like if 500,000 people in Denver were sold out for Jesus Christ? I can. I want to see it. And if I don't see it, I want to live as though it's going to happen. And I want to be found by Jesus when he returns, knowing that we did everything we could to make it happen, because that's the most important thing on the planet. Friends, God's glory is revealed in the church. You can't be the church if you don't gather as the church. You have to gather as the church to be the church. But then once you gather, you got to scatter and continue to be the church. Amen? You have to be. That's where his glory is revealed. And let me give you a final one. As we talk about this Taking Ground capital campaign, I think every time we talk about capital campaigns, people think about buildings and budgets and seats and places and music and screens and all that. That's like the back end. That's not even that important. Here's why. Because listen to this. Not only is God's ability exceeding our limits and his power works within us and his glory is revealed in the church, but listen to this. God's kingdom extends to every generation. Amen? God's kingdom extends to every generation. It says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, where? To all generations forever and ever. Amen. What's that mean? It means as much as you think your life's about you, it's not about you. And once you turn to Jesus, as much as you think your life's about Jesus and you right now, it's not about you still. It's about passing the baton to the next generation. It's about knowing that long after you're gone, there's still a group of people here who are worshiping the Lord because of your faithful service when you were alive. It's passing the baton. It's letting those younger than us realize this is for you. It's for you and your children, and you can have this and go take it. I have absolutely loved being more involved in student ministry. If you're not, you need to come on Tuesdays. God's doing an amazing thing, not only here, but he's doing an amazing thing across our country with young people right now. A lot of people say there's a revival. I don't know that I'm willing to call it quite that yet, but I'll say this. There's an awakening happening in our culture. And there's a lot of young people that are being awakened and want to know, is Jesus really who he says he is? And my answer to that and God's answer to that is, I'm the same God that's always been. And if you'll humble yourself and follow me, that's where you're going to find true joy. That's where you're going to find true satisfaction. That's how you're going to make the lasting impact if you go all in with Jesus. And so even when we talk about capital campaign, it's not about us. It's about those that are coming behind us. It's so that if all of us have passed on and are in heaven, there's still a move of God on this planet that is reaching people for Jesus because we were faithful in our time and in our generation and what we were able to do. Amen. I mean, think about Psalm 74, verse 8. It says, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to the praises of the Lord and his strength and wondrous works that he has done. I mean, when Jesus sends us out in the Great Commission to go and make disciples, it's not just making disciples so that we have more people in our Bible study so we can feel really good until we meet Jesus. It's about growing each other up in the Lord, using our gifts for his glory, expanding his kingdom, sharing the gospel, seeing more people come to faith, more people having to grow up, more people having to do things. that they had never done before. So we have more disciple makers in more places, in more nations, raising up a whole generation of people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. Amen. That's what this is about. That's what it's about. I mean, it's really the Olympic torch, so to speak, that gets passed from generation to generation. I mean, think about this. If you decided, man, I really like oak trees, I'm going to go plant an oak tree today. You're not really planting that oak tree for you. You're planting it for somebody that 20 or 30 years from now is going to enjoy that oak tree. What we're establishing right now is not just for us. It's so that 20 or 30 years from now, there's a whole generation of people that are singing praises to Jesus because of the faithfulness that we had to the Lord in this time. So I want to tell you, I'm super excited about the Taking Ground Capital campaign because of the fact I believe we're going to reach more people for Jesus than we ever had. I believe we're going to send out more people on mission than we've ever sent. And we're going to see God do some things we've never, ever seen because that's just who he is. So for me to stand up here and articulate, I mean, we had that book, Taking Ground. You can get a copy of the book in the lobby. We've asked you to pray about what your pledge may be. We've invited everybody to consider what that would look like for them. Vesca, as an individual or as a family, hey, pray about it, see what that is, and just be generous, knowing this, that the greatest giver in the New Testament was a poor widow that gave two small copper coins worth less than a penny. Like, if you're a middle school student and say, I'm going to give a dollar a month for 36 months, praise God, because God will see your heart. It's not about the amount. It's about your participation in it. Now, if you're here for the first time, zero pressure, zero pressure. Right? You can consider this. You can pray about this. God loves a cheerful giver, not one that's under compulsion. If you're online, you're part of our online community. There's a website you can go to, takingground.net. You can give online. You can do that. What I decided to do for you that are going to contribute to this pledge is to give you a commemorative coin so that you can have it to look at. And really, the reason for that, people are like, why are you giving a coin? Here's why. In the book of Joshua, when Israel crosses over to the promised land, here's what happens. The priests go in first. God pushes the waters back, just like he did at the Red Sea. All 2 million go across on powder dry ground. And then God tells a leader from every single tribe, go back in where the priests are standing and pick up a stone and bring it back. And we're going to make a monument. Now, God didn't make a monument so they'd worship the monument, but here's why. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 21, he says why he did that. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? So kids, ask your dads. Kids, when you ask your dad, like, what are these stones about? Or dad, what's that coin about? Then you will inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. When you bring your pledge today, which we're going to do here in just a moment, and you lay it at the altar, you can take one of these bags that has a coin in it and a stand, and the purpose of that is for you to put it in your house. Not for you to worship and not for you to stare at, but it's there for your family to be reminded of the fact that over the next 3 years, we believe God's going to be taking ground. It's for you to be praying for. It's for you to be contributing to. It's for you to say, Lord, we're believing you for greater things than we could ever do. And by the way, I don't know math very well at all, but you see that red circle? I made them do that today. That's the only number we care about. I'm like, how do you divide between three? You know, if you have a number and you got to divide it three times for a year, I don't care. So whatever your gift is over those 3 years, in addition to your regular giving, just put it in there. If you want to do it online, you can do it online. If you want to, if you forgot to bring your pledge cards, we have pledge cards off to the sides that you can fill out today when you do that. And when you do, take this. And they're there so your kids can ask. And by the way, kids, you can ask your parents, how come you didn't get a coin, Dad? You can ask. Right? Because here's the thing. We want everybody's participation. You get to choose what generosity looks like to you. That's it. Amen. And we're going to trust God that these will be the first fruits of what he's going to do. And if we collect it, and out of the 35 million, we have 5 million in pledges, or we collect it and we have 50 million in pledges, it doesn't matter to me because I know God is able. But I just want to see more and more people contribute, because when you're generous to the things of the Lord and you sacrifice for the things of the Lord, God has a way of building you. Amen. Do you believe this word today? I believe this word today, even if we weren't doing a capital campaign. Amen. You trust God for some great things. So before we take communion today, I'm just going to pray for you here in a minute. And when I pray for you, Then you can, after I finish praying, we're going to sing some songs. Feel free to bring your pledge cards forward, put them in an envelope. You can just drop them right here on the platform anywhere that you want. Take a bag that's got a coin. Take one with you. That'll just remind you. You can put it up in your house. You can put it in your office. Just remind you of what the Lord's been doing. And hey, listen, if you're still considering saying, we want to be part of this, I'm just not ready to make my commitment. Fantastic. You get to do it on your own leisure, your own way. There is zero pressure here. But this is for those of us that have been praying and seeking the Lord and trusting him for what he wants to do. And I believe this. I think it's a real special moment in the history of our church to be part of something like this. Amen? And God wants all of you to be a part of it if you can. Can I invite you to stand and I'm going to pray for us? And then after I say amen, feel free to come and bring your gifts to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for Pledge Sunday. Lord, we realize everything we have belongs to you. And Lord, as we pray, this is what you've laid on our hearts to give to you. We trust you for that. We ask you to move mightily in our service. Lord, may no one here feel under compulsion. May everybody here be excited for what they're able to bring to you. And Lord, would you multiply what's brought just like you did with the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Would you help us accomplish everything that you want for your glory, for your name, that Denver, that Colorado, and that our nation would turn their hearts back to you. We give you all the praise and glory for that in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise for who he is? Amen.